This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, join Science Friday guest host Joe Palca for a look at the history of the workhorse of biology, the lab mouse. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. For the remainder of this hour, we want to return to the report of the 9/11 Commission and talk about what can be done so the recommendations of this commission at least get debated, maybe even acted upon. The proposals of many a blue ribbon commission in the past have ended up in the dustbin. Some, though, have led to substantive change. What's the difference? If you'd like to join the discussion, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can send us email at totn@npr.org. At this morning's news conference after the release of the 9/11 Commission's report, a reporter asked Chairman Thomas Kane what concrete steps he could take to, as she put it, ensure your report isn't on a bookshelf somewhere like so many other Blue Ribbon commissions. Here's what Commissioner Kane had to say in response.
We've been working on that one ever since the day we were created. We read those other reports. There are a number of commissions who made first-class recommendations. If they'd been implemented, this country would have been better and safer. They were not implemented. They were ignored. The Hart-Rudman Commission comes to mind. The Lockerbie Commission is another one. All commissions which made good recommendations. We have determined as a commission not to let that happen. Now, these are tough recommendations. These are not easy to implement. One of the reasons some of the ones haven't been implemented yet that are made already is because they're tough. They're not easy to do. A lot of these recommendations require changing around the United States government in ways that take power away from some people. That's tough in this town. But we think it's essential, and we think it's necessary, and we've made an absolute determination to make the tough recommendations if they were right. And the other thing we decided to do, all 10 of us together, is our charter expires and we go out of business as a commission. We do not go out of business as people. And all 10 of us have decided to keep in touch, to work, implement these recommendations, do everything we can, whether it's testimony or lobbying or speaking or whatever's necessary, to let the American people know about these recommendations, know how important they are, our belief that they can save lives, and continue to work as a group long after our charter goes out of existence. And we've agreed to meet in a year to determine our progress.
Tom, may I add a word to that?
Vice Chairman Lee Hamilton.
In my experience, commissions have clout and impact relating to two factors. One is the quality of work done in the report. At the end of the day, this town does examine ideas. And if the professional work that is done in this report is of the highest quality, as we think it is, that will have an impact on decision makers. The second thing that brings about impact by a commission is the stature of its membership. And I do not think you could exceed the stature of the membership of this commission. We're all, or most of us at least, are former politicians. Some of us, as one of my friends said a moment ago in the Congress, we're washed-up politicians. That's an accurate description, I guess. But we have a pretty good sense and feel of the politics of this town. If you want to look back on commissions, take a look at the Social Security Commission of a few years back and ask yourself whether or not that commission had impact. Believe you me, it had impact. It restructured the entire Social Security system.
9/11 Commission Vice Chairman Lee Hamilton. Can the 9/11 Commission have the same success as the Social Security Commission? What do you think can be done to ensure action is taken or at least considered on the commission's recommendations? Is there anything you think you personally should do? Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255 or send us an email, totn@npr.org. Joining us here in Studio 3A is Paul Light, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution, a Professor of Public Service at New York University. Good to have you back on the program.
Nice to be here.
And also with us is Don Rice. He was a member of the U.S. Commission on National Security, otherwise known as the Hart-Rudman Commission. He's a former Secretary of the Air Force. He's currently the Chairman and CEO of Agensys, a biotechnology company in California. He's with us from his office there, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Nice to be with you.
Paul Light, let me start by putting to you one of the questions we're putting to our listeners. Why did the Social Security Commission succeed while other Blue Ribbon panels have failed? Or conversely, what did the other commissions do wrong or not do at all that the Social Security Commission did right?
I had a ringside seat on the 1983 Greenspan Commission working with Representative Barbara Conable. And I'll tell you something. What made the Greenspan Commission successful was the fact that politicians in office were on the commission. They had a stake in the commission, and they rammed it through. They rammed the report through, which was framed as legislation. Conable, Moynihan, Dole, Jake Pickle, Claude Pepper, the who's who of political leaders, and they negotiated an agreement with the White House before they issued the report. It was very, very well greased and clearly quite easily scheduled for action, and they had an action forcing crisis on their hands that really got Congress's attention.
Don, as a member of the Hart-Rudman Commission, what did you do to try to make sure your recommendations were heard? And in retrospect, would you have done anything differently?
Well, we did a number of follow-up interviews and discussion sessions with key members of the government. You might remember that the report came out just as the Bush administration was starting. And so there were a limited number of senior officials in place even to deal with at that point. but we were able to deal directly with a number of them. And I think it's noteworthy that despite the change of administration at the time, that a number of those recommendations of the Hart-Rudman Commission, in fact, did get implemented. I heard Chairman Kane's reaction to it, but I'd characterize it a little differently. Certainly, the proposal to establish a Homeland Security Agency did make its way into reality, and a number of changes that were implemented in the Defense Department also came about. There are certainly other things that did not get picked on up on. We recommended a pretty significant restructuring of the State Department, and very little of that has happened so far. So I think these commissions are a bit of more of a mixed story. That at least that's how you have to think about them. Some of their recommendations may actually get implemented, but it's a pretty rare case of the kind that Paul was just describing, where pretty much the whole package gets pushed right through legislation.
Yep. Paul, given the situation that we're looking at today, how important is timing in the issuing of a report?
Well, you need some sort of device that drives the process forward, and I don't see one here except for the end of the Congress. If you can find a couple of champions on Capitol Hill and you could get the president solidly behind something, you could ram it through quickly with the election as your driver, your fulcrum. But boy, once you get past November, you get into the dead zone in terms of politics around town, and you got to start from scratch. I just don't see the action-forcing device right now. You got to have somebody step forward and say, I'm going to own this, I'm going to drive it forward, I'm going to stake my reputation on it. And that requires political leadership on both sides of the aisle and in both institutions that have to make the choices.
Don Rice, do you see any evidence of that kind of leverage here?
Well, I think it, I agree with Paul, it's not easy to see. And in the case of the Hart-Rudman Commission, we had published in 1999 the point that in the 21st century, Americans were going to be vulnerable on their own soil for the first time in hundreds of years, and had followed that up with a number of proposals to recognize and deal with the nature of those threats. And it was when we came out with the final report, it was a source of great frustration to all of us on the commission that the media paid so little attention to it. A couple of our major outlets didn't cover it at all, and others gave it a one-day play, and that was about it. So the only follow-up opportunities we had really were to try to deal with the congressional committees, but primarily with the new incoming members of the executive branch. So I think Paul's point about needing some kind of a leverage or fulcrum to bring out about the change is very important, and I would say that his point was even a little too easy on the congressional process in Washington. We're going to see a summer recess here before too long, and likely winding up with a congressional session with some time well in advance of the election so everybody can go run for reelection. So, you know, there's just not a lot of congressional time left this year to get something done.
We're talking about the recommendations of Blue Ribbon Commissions, particularly in regard of the release today of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission report. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller on the line. Joe is with us from Cary, North Carolina.
Yes, my question is, why would the Congress go on a summer recess when we have this most important issue facing the nation? Shouldn't they stay on like the firemen did, the policemen did after the World Trade Center, the construction workers who built the Pentagon back, and people doing the cleanup, they all stayed on. No one took a recess or a break. Shouldn't somebody stick by? Shouldn't the Congress stay on?
Paul Light?
You'd have to get the President of the United States to say, basically, we're going to work through the August recess. They could stay on, but I'll tell you something. It's a tight election. They want to get home. Members want to get back to their base and talk to their constituents. Again, it's a test of leadership. John Kerry and George Bush could stand together and basically say, we want this done. Doesn't matter whether which one of us is elected. We want the Congress to act. Maybe that could loosen this, but they'd have to do it together, and you'd have to have it in a bipartisan spirit. I just don't see it happening.
And you'd have to begin by saying, and by the way, congressmen and women, don't bother coming to the convention next week or the one in New York at the end of the month.
And
what if there's an attack on the convention?
That point was made, I think, it was the former governor of Illinois, Mr. Thompson, who said at the news conference today that, and Don Rice, I wanted to ask you about this, that if there was an attack after this and nothing had been done with these recommendations, well, at that point, the American public would be justified to exact a political price of the people who didn't act on these recommendations.
Well, I think that you'd have exactly that kind of reaction, but I would also point out that quite a lot has been done since 9/11, some of it related to the recommendations of the Hart-Rudman Commission, and a lot of it just in the natural course of the administration and the Congress together reacting to the events of 9/11 and everything that's happened since. We're certainly doing a lot better job today, but far from a perfect job, of sharing intelligence information from different sources around and among the different agencies. The Homeland Security Agency is able to coordinate the activities of the many different types of government functions that are involved in guarding our borders. So I think a lot of things are being done better, arguably not as well yet as we can do them, but certainly better than they used to be.
Joe, thanks very much for the call. Let's go now to Mike, and Mike is with us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hi, Neil and gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this. Is this commission at any kind of particular disadvantage by virtue of issuing its report in a presidential election year?
Yeah, I think, Paul Light, you just mentioned the difficulty of the timing here.
It's a short calendar, very tight election. You'd have to just have an extraordinary moment here for the president and the Kerry people, the two campaigns to come together around a single recommendation. But my goodness, you know, the reorganization of Congress, which is well overdue, something that has to happen. I just don't see members of Congress warming up to it. I'm afraid that we have to see, or that we will need to see, some sort of tragedy of the kind that occurred on September 11th, which drove the Hart-Rudman Commission recommendations forward, before we see the full implementation of this report. And that's just very troubling.
Mike, thank you.
The Hart-Rudman,
thank you, gentlemen.
If I can add to that, the Hart-Rudman Commission was explicitly scheduled to wind up after the end of a presidential election year in the hope that you know, that would gain a greater reception for the results.
Let's get one final question in. Ford is with us from Rochester, New York.
Hi there. Thank you very much for taking my call.
And if you could keep it quick.
Okay, I just had kind of a statement. I would love to see a grassroots organization spring up that could help fund the ongoing travel book tour or whatever kind of speaking tours for these commission members. Something along like a moveon.org where people could donate online. I think that would be a wonderful thing, and I hope that somebody listening decide to do that.
Okay, Ford.
Take my call.
We'll appreciate it, and we'll give you the final word there, and thank both of our guests.
Thank you.
Paul Light, a senior fellow of the Brookings Institution and a professor of public service at New York University, was with us here in Studio 3A. Don Rice, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Don Rice was a commissioner on the Hart-Rudman Commission. He's now chairman and CEO of Agensys, a biotechnology company. He's also a former secretary of the Air Force. Again, if you want to read the report of the 9/11 Commission, you can find it on our website. There's also much more there at npr.org. Joe Palca will be here with Science Friday tomorrow. We'll see you Monday in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.